This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey everyone, we are unpaywalling another episode from the Patreon. This is a new show called Never Heard of Them. It's a music chat podcast hosted by Asan Williams and Jacob Wysocki, two podcast heavy hitters, in my humble opinion, and I always try to be humble with you. It's one of my greatest qualities. Each episode, they discuss what tunes they've been listening to and talk to their guest about a genre they love and then one they don't really mess with. Previous guests include Nicole Byer, Alana Johnston, Betsy Sodaro, Carl Tart, Tawny Newsom, Matt Apodaca, and I believe that's every episode we've done so far until today with The Boys. And next week is their season finale with two icons, in my humbly opinion. So if you like this episode and want to check out the rest of the season, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones and check out Never Heard of Them on the bundle tier. Thank you so much and enjoy the show.
I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them, no.
What's up?
Hello and welcome to Never Heard of Them. I'm Jacob Wysocki.
I'm Asan the DJ.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, everyone?
For those of you that have maybe never heard the pod before, this is a pod about talking tunes. Me and Asan, we listen to some music. We talk about what we've been listening to, what we've been chewing on for the week. We have guests on and they talk about their musical interests and genres that they may not circle much, and we try to expose them to that genre. Then we play a little game and we go home, everybody goes to bed. Conk chew, conk chew, conk chew.
We go to bed immediately after this.
Yes. Strict bedtime. Did I nail that? I feel like I nailed
it. I think you nailed it. I think you did a great job. You have a great radio voice.
Do you have any addendums?
No addendums, nothing to add, no new notes, no new minutes.
Okay.
Just, yeah, I think we're good. We're caught up from last week, I think.
Cool. Up for re-election.
Yeah. What have you been chewing on this week? You want to get right into it?
You know, ask me how I am first.
Oh, excuse me. How are you this week, Jacob?
Hey, I'm good. And
You sound a little congested.
I'm even better because I'm about to crack into a liquid death. You know?
You're one of those guys?
I'm cracking in. I'm a true hardcore fan. I drink Liquid Death. It's my favorite water. It's the best water. If Liquid Death's out there, if they're listening and they want to send me a case, you know, you can at me. But I'm living my life. I've got my Liquid Death. Everything's good.
Are you wearing Muay Thai shorts as well right now?
Yeah, yeah. My ears are cauliflowered. I've taken an absolute beating in the NFT game. And my Tesla won't charge. Yeah.
Damn, hard life.
It's tough. It's tough. Just really want Liquid Death to send me a crate. I'll drink in a bottle an episode.
Are you drinking the still one? The flat one or the
flat?
The flat one, yeah.
I'm not fancy like that.
Yeah, I don't really get into sparkling water. I don't really see the point.
Just give me that good spring water with a high TDS, you know?
What is
total
TDS?
Dissolved solids.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how you know it's good. It's got
you
the
want
real
that
minerals.
To be a, oh, you want that to be a high number?
Yeah, it's typically better if it's high. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What can I say? I'm a water guy, Liquid Death. And I am a little nasally. I got a new couch, and the warehouse fumes have really set off my allergies in a negative way. Yeah.
Did you pop in a leggy today?
Claritin D, dude. I'm on Claritin meth. I'm on meth, baby. I'm on a meth precursor. Let's go. How are you, man?
I'm good. I did not get a new couch. I'm the same old dusty, busty couch. Mm-hmm. What else? I'm good, though. Otherwise, man, I can't complain. Just hanging in there.
Thank God. Thank God it's sturdy. My boy's sturdy.
I'm sturdy. I got strong knees. I can drop it low. I will not waver. I will not quiver.
I've been worried all week that you wouldn't be sturdy.
Yeah. I'm sturdy, though. I'm holding in there. I'm like an antique table. I'm solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we did good there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a great job.
We did a great job. I'm just going to compliment myself this entire episode. I think maybe sometimes, that'll be my runner.
Sometimes you got to hype yourself up, baby. No one else is going to do it for you.
Great job, man, guys. Cool. Thanks. Let's get into what we've been chewing on. Huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think I sent you the most amazing song that's ever been written in the world.
Yeah.
I think I sent you it might as well be a hymn. It should be a forever song.
Right. So I remember you sent me the song by Blind Fury. I remember this guy. He was on American Idol, right?
No. So I sent you Cigarettes and IPAs by Blind Fury.
So I'm just trying to forget chain smoking cigarettes and drinking IPAs, thinking about the days when you were mine, baby. Now thinking about the way you played me when I was right here at home.
It's a country song,
right?
But Blind Fury, maybe he was on that, but he rose to fame through 106 and Park.
And oh, as a rapper,
he was on Freestyle Fridays.
That's
and he was
right.
Like a truly prolific freestyle rapper, and that's where I heard about Blind Fury.
Yeah.
And I've followed that career since like 2011 or whatever. And now he's always like repped that he's from South Carolina, Lou Goff. He's always been kind of a Southern bumpkin type. But now he's making freaking country music and it's breaking my heart.
Is it? You know what? I liked it. I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for that kind of country too.
Uh-huh.
Like the sort of like the, you know, the on purposely kind of like, a little bit of sappy, kind of like tugging at the heartstrings.
There's some
like,
awareness. Yeah.
I like it. I like that genre of country. I don't like country that takes itself way too seriously.
No. And I think like, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I think 100%. He knows like, I'm going to make some commercial.
Yes.
Fun country music.
Yeah. I like that. I was into it.
Man, it just gets me in my feels, you know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that's like, this is one of those songs where you're like, oh, whoops, I drank 12 beers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm going to pitch you a song. I'm going to pitch you a song based on this song. I'm going to put you in the Never Heard of Them hot seat.
Okay.
If you like this, you should listen to a song called Five More Minutes by Scotty McCreery. He was on American Idol, I think. One of those. Yeah. And he that song is really good.
McCreery.
It's all about
Yeah. Was he the low voice guy?
Baby, yes.
Open doors and turn the lights down low. Yeah. I remember good old McCreery, dude.
Yeah.
The height of American Idol. Back when it meant something.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it mattered.
I'm more of a Justin Guarini guy, but I'm not going to hold you.
I mean, you know I'm a Reuben, dude. I'm Reuben all the way.
Sorry for 2004.
We should have a whole season where we just do American Idol and nobody listens. So what American Idol season have you been chewing on, Asan?
That'd be sick. There has to be an American Idol pod out there already, but if there isn't, we should start it.
I guarantee you there's too many.
How many is too many when we're talking about American Idol? Come on now.
Four. Because how different can it be, right? Like, I can see three unique American Idol podcasts.
Only three?
I thought I was being generous.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's probably three really good ones.
I can imagine there being room for three good American Idol podcasts.
Yeah.
A deep dive, like a Where Are They Now, and then like a current season Gossip Queen style.
Yeah.
I don't know.
XOXO Idol Queens or something.
Idol Queens, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with
it's that. It's a $17 Patreon. Anyways, what were you chewing on, man? You brought some heat.
What did I send you?
I mean, come on. You sent me. You sent me Trash Talk.
Oh, I did send you Trash Talk.
An EP called Plagues from 2008.
You know what threw me off was we had a conversation after I sent you the chewing on where we were like, man, we should have both talked about Kendrick. And that's been in my head.
Yes. So,
but yes, earlier in the week, I did send you Trash Talk. Yeah, I was chewing on that because I chew on that EP a lot because that was I don't think that was their first EP. It might have.
No.
No, it wasn't. OK.
Yeah, they started in 2005.
Gotcha. Okay, it was one of their earlier EPs, and it's one of the EPs that they put out that is not on, like, streaming services. Like, I have to go to YouTube to listen to it. And it's probably my favorite release from them. And I just remember it was a very formative, and it's a very nostalgic EP for me because, like, when they were touring that EP, they played Sound and Fury Festival, and I was there.
Oh, great.
And I just remember seeing that band for the first time. That was the first band I saw in person that, like, hardcore band, punk band or whatever, in person that had black people in it.
I mean, that's
and that
huge.
Was like a huge thing for me.
Yeah, that's got to be massive.
Like, it was crazy. It was crazy big for me to, like, and at that point, the drummer that
were you aware of hardcore bands that had black members?
At that point, I was only aware of Bad Brains as being the band that had black people in it. There were other bands at the time that I was just not aware of. And then I was also aware of, like, because it was like 2006, 2007. So I was also aware of, like, Killswitch Engage, singer was black at the time, Howard Jones. Like, there were a couple other bands and stuff like that. But in terms of, like, this is a local kind of California band. They
Sacramento,
make
aka Sacramento. Sacramento. Come on, baby.
From Babylon, California. and I just remember being like, and at this point, they had three black people in the band. The drummer is also black. And I remember, and he was like a big, like, stocky football player guy. And I'm like, man, that could be me up there. And that was like a really formative thing for me. Because I was still in high school and this shit was like crazy. So, yeah.
I love
but that
EP is
really
that.
Good.
I mean, dude, this was some hard pressed, some like total crowd kill fucking Sacramento. This I was like, was listening to it and I was like, this is Bay Area, like, this feels like Fresno, Bakersfield, just it's got that like kind of anger to it.
It's got a chip on its shoulder.
Totally. Yeah, totally. It's, I mean, the best way I can describe, I said it already, but it's total crowd kill music. It's just like,
yeah,
people are being tough.
Yeah.
People want to be tough at those shows.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those. I really love that shit, so
it was good. I don't know. I mean, we got a real widespread on this chewing on.
That's true.
The distance between the two is worlds away.
And we've kind of swapped places because usually you go with more of the aggressive stuff and I go with the more mellow stuff. But
that's true.
We've totally come full circle.
Yeah, you brought some real heat, some anger, and I got all sappy and was like, I've been getting drunk early in the morning.
There's room for both, man.
Yeah. Maybe you're influencing me in a positive way. Maybe you're having me reach out into places that I was uncomfortable to do in the future.
I'm corrupting you.
In the past. You're correcting me?
No, I said corrupting.
Oh. I'm correcting your behavior.
Yeah. Helping you see the light.
Yeah.
No, yeah. But yeah, that's what I was chewing on this week.
Man, it was a good one. I gotta go listen to some of their earlier stuff. I wonder if it's a little heavier. But you said this was your fave.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite EP from them, for sure. Although the full length that they put out, I think it was a self-titled full length that was like maybe the next release after this. Their first full length that they did was really good.
Are they still active?
They are. They're like still playing. Yeah, they're still active, I would say. They're still active. Obviously, the time in between like new music and like them playing shows has like greatly like become large. I don't know what I'm saying there, but... Yeah, they've slowed down, I guess, but they're still active.
They're greatly becoming large.
Yeah, they're greatly just becoming large. Yeah, but they are one of those bands that kind of blew up and became like really big, like really quickly. And so, you know, they're all doing other shit. But yeah, the band's still active as far as I know.
And, you know, we narrowly missed the daydream that I had, that we both texted each other different Kendrick tracks from the new album at the same time.
I know.
Just being like, this is what I've been chewing on.
Well, we should make it happen. What's your favorite song from the album?
Oh, man. What was it? Is it Crucial or Criminal? I'm bad at, like, when I'm first listening through stuff, mm-hmm. I'm not really, like, looking at the stuff. I'm just, like, pressing play, and it's running through. And then if I pause it, I pick up where I left off.
And this album is especially hard to track song names because it's so kind of chaotic in terms of, like, the production.
Totally.
So, like, you're not sure when songs are starting or ending, and it's just kind of is seamless in that way.
Yeah. Let me see.
Kevin said Crown, question mark?
Maybe it was Crown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crown or Count Me Out. They had this, like, really, like, this part where he's just, like, really ripping up other rappers in, like, a bold way. And I was just like, hell yeah, man, go for it. But, dude, it's really, like, nuanced and dense. Where it's, like, I don't have too much to say because it's, like, I don't know. It kind of, like, reminds me of, in no way tonally, but, like, mm-hmm. Yeezus was one of those things where it's, like, I listened to it and was, like, yeah, I don't know. I definitely need to go through this a couple more times before I, like, feel confident speaking on it.
You want to know something funny?
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a buddy of mine who's a big hip-hop guy who actually did not like this album, and he's a huge Kendrick fan.
Okay.
And in our conversation, I literally told him, this feels like Kendrick's Yeezus, which means, like, a lot of people are not going to like this. But I feel like I love this album. And I've come around on Yeezus. I didn't like it at first. I actually really like it and appreciate it now.
It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate this album, though, especially the first half. I don't know why.
What do you think the difference is between the halves?
The first half is much more like, I would, like, it almost is taking cues from, like noise bands. Like, it almost feels like a noise rap kind of album. Like, it's.
Yeah, man. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I kind of like what he's doing. Like, if what Young Thug and Future do is, like, mumble rap, I would call this, like, ramble rap. Because he's kind of just like, it's not like a lot of punchlines and, like, you know, line, punchline, line, punchline, line, punchline. It's more like he's just like stream of consciousness kind of just like rattling off. And I kind of like that. It fits with the production style really well, especially in the first half. The back half of the album gets a little bit more, the songs get a little bit more structured. There's a little bit, there's like choruses and stuff like that.
So. Now, here's a question. This is something that I was thinking about, and maybe it's a controversial thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to be controversial on the pod.
Let's do it.
I wonder sometimes if, like, the political messaging and the sort of, like, current social awareness that is going on in this music, right? Like, how manufactured is it? I want to believe that it's the artist. I want to believe that it's, like, this pure of punk awareness and a message and, like, trying to speak and using a platform. But I wonder, because, like, there is a commercialism to this sort of philosophy and thought right now. Like,
of course,
activism is big right now. It is marketable. And I wonder if these powers that be, not like Illuminati powers, but obviously like record company powers, are aware of that and are making and pushing that in some sort of way. I don't know.
Yeah, if this was any other artist, I would say maybe. I think with Kendrick, he's been kind of doing this for a while.
There's a consistency.
Even in his first, like, in his, like, earlier music, there was always, like, he always had a point of view about things. It was never just like, let's just make songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always been a little bit of, like, his worldview sprinkled into it. I think now he's just at a place where, like, he's gained enough, I hate the word, but, clout, for the lack of a better word. I think he's gained enough clout around himself as an artist to, like, lean heavily into whatever message he's trying to do at the risk of, like, not pleasing some people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I think about that with a lot of music. So I love to hear that answer. You know, what's the influence? But I think you're right. It's probably the consistency that moves us away from that possibility.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what we've been fucking chewing on, you germs.
Yes, yeah, sick fucks.
We'll be right back. Sip on your liquid death, and we'll be right back. All right. Okay. The train's on the tracks. Welcome back to Never Heard of Them. We've got some hot guests. Our pod daddies. The true gate. If there's ever a gatekeeper, it's them. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome to the pod. It's Hayes. It's Sean. I'm not going to say your last names. We're close now. We know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
tight. It would insult me to hear my last name from you. Yeah. That would be disrespectful at this point.
The fruits of a network just being able to get on this show whenever I want. Kevin calls up.
We had a really big guest lined up.
Yeah.
You kind of just.
Hey, so Hayes and Sean are actually going to be guesting on the show this week.
Yeah, it was tough. We had to tell Tiffany Haddish to go. Yeah.
We had to tell her she was bumped.
Yeah. Tiff, you're getting bumped.
To be the agent.
You ever seen Daddy's Home 2? Well, this is kind of like that.
Kevin is like, what about Charlene Yee? What about her?
Man, I was really...
She's pushed, that's what.
I was really excited to get to talk to Charlene, but she's pushed.
My whole thing is just like, I mean, why have the amount of success we have if you don't get to build your own personal playground with it?
I love being in the flagrant sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
It's so different.
So I'll jump out and go down the slide with Carl talking about basketball. Then I'm over here on the little whirligig with my friend Hayes doing a pro version. And now I'm in the sandbox.
I like the part where you guys leave and then like we can come back to life and like.
Guys, we're here to talk tunes. We're having fun, we're having a laugh, but we're here to talk tunes.
Let's get serious about music, please.
Yeah, no jokes when it comes to tunes, all right?
Mm-mm, very serious matter.
We got to know a little bit about what you guys like listening to and why you like listening to it. And don't volunteer. I'll pick who goes first. Don't volunteer. Sean?
I'd like Hayes to go first.
Okay, great. Hayes. So, Hayes, tell us about what tunes you're taking in.
Well, I guess I don't have my phone near me because I do. I always have to check to kind of remind myself what I like to listen to.
All right. So we'll go back to Sean. Okay, great. So Sean,
I just got it all the way out.
Let me check on my phone. I just got it.
Every time you move, it looks way more dramatic with longer hair. Like when you're looking for your phone, you're like,
my hair is like 3 seconds behind me.
I'm sort of not. Okay. To my own life in some ways, much like Hayes.
I almost only listen to music when I am running.
Okay.
Which I try to do most days.
Are you talking like pretty exclusively you only listen to music when you run? Like in the car?
Pretty much. In the car, sometimes I will check in on Hits One. I just like to know what Spider Harrison is talking about these days on Hits One. Mm-hmm. Sissany, I think is on Kiss. Those are some of the DJs. Lately I have been listening to the opening of every season of Attack on Titan, which is an anime that I like.
Cool.
Take Me Home by Phil Collins. Mm-hmm. Adrenaline Night Shift, Japan Droids. Both good running songs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Japan Droids, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shake It by Metro Station, Let It Rock by Kevin Rudolph. Those are my four most recent.
This is a hype list.
Yeah.
This is getting you out. This is getting those miles.
Sean knows this. I always need something to kind of like get me out of bed. You know what I mean? Sean has a much higher tolerance for atmospheric and more like emotionally complex music than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm more like lyrically invested or something.
Mm-hmm. You like the story of it or like with the emotions connected to the words. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hayes, you're coming with a beat. You're looking for
him, by the way. Also for his, I don't know how to say this, but for like pornography. He likes a written
It's text based pornography. I mean, if I'm I you know
literotica.
Yeah. Okay. Like when I see an image or God forbid a moving image of a sexual act, mm-hmm. it means almost nothing to me. I suppose that could be erotic to someone, but if I see the word breast on a page,
that's hot.
Well, I need to excuse myself.
Oh, we got to take a full time out.
I have to leave. I go. I have to leave the refrigerated section of the deli.
Uh-huh.
And go chill out in the car.
Mm. Are porn stories labeled the same as like porn video clips when you search them? Like, are they rudimentary labels?
I guess I don't know. It's so funny. Like, I only have my experience, and you have your. If you're looking at video yeah. clips, you could tell me what they're.
Like amateur. Well, like, is there such thing as amateur?
Yeah, is there amateur literotica?
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
the
it's called fan
bad.
Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's called fan fiction. Absolutely. It's probably way nastier than
they use the
published.
Wrong. They use the wrong word there.
Yeah, there's more like grammar mistakes and stuff. It's not yeah. as classy, but somehow yeah. it feels more authentic mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm. What's POV like in literotica?
It's just first person narrative,
or maybe like second.
I was gonna say yeah. it's probably
maybe second.
Person.
Maybe second person.
You start to unzip yeah. your pants.
Yeah, amateur POV.
I see.
You
yes.
touch their THERE bobs.
It is exciting. If nothing else, it is exciting.
I'm not turned on yet, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to try. I'll read.
Well,
I'll
mean, it's
reading.
So much like your show, though. Like, it's like everybody has their own stuff they like, and I'm
mm-hmm.
here kind of exposing you to something maybe that's a little bit of a hole in your knowledge.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a read and give you a thumbs up, thumbs down if I'm into literotica, you know, if I can really bust that nut. Hayes, I do have a serious question.
Yeah.
Somebody who listens to music when they run makes me feel like it is not a big part of your life.
Definitely not.
Even in your adolescence, like we're talking that sort of high school to college age where you really, I think, are buying CDs and stuff like that. Were we not?
So
we,
I'll tell you when it did. I broke up with my high school girlfriend freshman year of college
mm-hmm.
after learning that she had, I've talked about this on other platforms, but that she had cheated on me with the music teacher. So there's a little bit of my relationship with music is, I guess, now that I say it.
Wow.
Yeah, you're saying oh that that's God. When you did
potentially
get into music,
affected.
But actually it's,
right.
it probably was in but some ways drawing a
I would a walk. I would take very long walks. Mm-hmm. It was cold, like hands in my pockets. Mm-hmm. Walks where I would, like, you know, picture myself being watched, like thinking I was like looking cool, walking around mm-hmm. on my big walks. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to the Streets. Grand Don't Come for Free. That was a big one for me.
Like the rap group, The Streets.
It's just a guy. It's
my
just
bad.
One guy. Yeah.
Fired.
Mike
Fired.
Skinner.
Yeah. I'm out. Sorry. Yeah.
It's Mike Skinner.
Yeah.
I preferred original pirate material myself.
Yeah. And that was also when Funeral, the Arcade Fire album, came
uh-huh.
out. It was 2004.
Huge. Yeah.
Huge.
Big year.
So good. And just the operatic, like, wake up. I would listen to that and be like, yes, mm-hmm. this is like, it's,
yes.
it was, yes.
This is the Where the Wild Things Are trailer.
Yeah.
Was that song on there? Was that on that?
Okay. It was the trailer, yeah. and I'd say it's okay. the largest gap between trailer and movie that exists.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most perfect song for this trailer that looked incredible, and like the images were the book, and it felt like your child. And I was just like, holy fucking
You're like,
shit.
They did
like,
it. They
this
did
is gonna
it
be
the wild things are.
My favorite thing. Like, I don't care if it's who it's for. Like, I this yeah. is and then I went and I was like, I'm kind of bored.
Was the song in the movie too, or just the trailer?
I Ooh. Think it's just in the trailer. I don't think they okay. got it in the movie. Which, by the way, if they had just had like an important montage in the film set to that song, it probably would have bumped a full letter grade for me.
Man,
yeah,
I mean, it's a powerful did. Album. It's a powerful track.
Yeah,
hell yes.
Stuff I do like looking down a little deeper. I like 60s, like you know, like Walk Away, Renee. By the Left Bank is a song I really like. There's a band called The Association that has a couple songs I like a lot. It's like sort of like bubblegum pop, like dream pop, but like it's like The Zombies. The Zombies is, I think, like the most kind of classic example.
And those are kind of coming out of the 60s kind of garage rock kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of The Left Bank. I had to look them up to be reminded, but yes, I've seen these bob-headed boys before.
The Association, yeah, Never My Love is, I think, their biggest song, but Windy, which I first heard in a Breaking Bad cold open, but I really liked it.
I'm listening to a little bit of Association right now, and it sounds like cold open music.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Windy plays when there is a sex worker in the show named Wendy in Breaking Bad, and it's her turning her tricks, but that song plays, and I was like, this song fucking kicks ass.
This shit rocks.
But yeah, that's it. That basically, that's the show for me.
That.
Thanks for coming on, Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get much more out of me from there. Well, hey, that's enough. That's enough to work with. You're enough, and you're beautiful.
You belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, like, when has music made you cry? This is, and maybe it never has, but it sounds like you have a non-emotional relationship with music. Has it ever gotten you there?
The one, I don't know if it's ever made me cry, but the one that, like, a story song, this is more along the lines of the kind of stuff that Sean has a more sophisticated palette for. I really liked the Sufjan, the Illinois album, of course, around that same time, like 2004, 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kazmir Pulaski Day is a very sad song that I love. I still love it. I don't know if it's made me cry, but it's like probably gotten me close.
That John Wayne Gacy song on that album will kind of get
killed
you going.
10,000 people with his gun and his scouts.
Folding John Wayne's t-shirts.
Oh my God. I was one of them.
That shit's fucked up, dude. And when that's how I found out that that guy was a guy. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah.
He was like educating a lot of people. It's like, what are eight things about Illinois? Well, John Wayne Gacy. It's like, wait.
Top
I feel
eight.
Like you skipped some stuff.
Yeah. He got to Gacy before Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Just Curtis. It's a little bit of more of a window into you than the state itself, Sufjan.
Cool, Suf. Very cool, Suf. Well, Sean, you're up. You're in the hot seat.
All right.
Tell us about what tunes you get into. Mm-hmm. Do you turn up? Do you
chill out? Hayes went first, so I've got a little bit of a chronological thing I could do here, which is
that's great.
So my parents were sort of they had like a big record collection and were kind of hippies at some point, so tons of my mom was like a Beatles obsessive, and that was playing in the house all the time. And I was a youth when the original, like the anthologies were coming out, and the like huge like network documentary series about them was on, so that was like a big impactful thing. And then my dad was hard into like Steely Dan, so that was on a lot too. So there's like
rock,
a couple staples that were just always in rotation that I kind of grew up being into, some of that like 60s 70s music. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in high school, I got really deep into the jam band scene. Partially because I was so into drugs, cool. And it was a problem. And that was like, you could go there and find any. So I would go to these music festivals. I would go to Berkfest. And
were
like,
you doing Whippets?
The vibes.
Were you doing Whippets?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for just jam bands, so we can talk just quickly. We're talking like Fish and
I actually what you'd be maybe surprised. I never saw Fish live.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw so many local New England bands, and so I saw I'll rattle off a couple. There was Mo, Deep Banana Blackout, Strange Folk, Jiggle the Handle, Percy Hill, the Gray Boy All-Stars.
Okay. So you're following more of a like a sort of local
String Cheese
amateur.
Incident, I guess, is a big one. But it was, and they all like cross-pollinated and played with each other. Percy Hill, not a big band. That was the one I saw the most. I really loved them. Weirdly, like probably because I wasn't that into jam bands, they were the most like studio focused of them. They had like,
but you were into the drugs that came along with it.
I was into it, and I liked going to the shows and just hanging out and kind of feeling it. And Disco Biscuits was like a big band that I got really into, and they had their own festival called Camp Bisco that I would go to. So that
now,
was my,
I'm unsure if this is real.
That's totally real.
Yeah, this is real.
It's totally
this is
real.
Probably the fifth time I have heard Sean. Mostly does it as a joke, but him reciting those band names
names because they are all sort of funny.
Yes.
There's that small moment of doubt in my head of like, maybe this is all fake. Maybe this is all.
No, that was like, and my my like best friend in high school and I like listened to a bunch of that music and went to those shows and we would like camp out for the weekend, and so that was a little bit of my scene there. And then because it was the 90s, I also listened to in our town 104.1 was the alternative radio station, and it was all the usual suspect. I mean, that Third Eye Blind album was fucking enormous. I remember going to buy the How's It Gonna Be single at the mall with my friend and being a quarter short and stealing it from the wishing well.
Cool. Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. That's beautiful.
That's a lyric. That's a Third Eye Blind lyric.
Isn't it, though? And we went and we listened to that on the way home, and it had been, we obviously knew the band and the music was on the radio, but it was being used heavily in a Dawson's Creek promo at the time. And so it was like, I had heard the hook of it so many times in this like 10 second promo that I was like, I need to own this. And so like, Third Eye Blind, all those other bands like that, Counting Crows, who I still really like. So there's all that stuff that I'm nostalgic for. Some of it I didn't like at the time. Dave Matthews Band was the biggest thing in the world, and I was like, I'm not into this. I listen more to like jam bands and rap music. And then
there seems to be a big line when it comes to Dave Matthews. You're either in or you're out. But I don't quite understand it.
I love it because every person's car I got into to like go to a party, it was playing, and so it is somehow, against my will, became my teenage years, and so now it is like linked to most of my like positive high school memories. So
that's cool.
I do like it now. So yeah, there's that. And then when I got sober and like out of the drug scene, again, I had a time of getting incredibly committed to music, and I was with like all these like kind of like young people in sobriety, like around like New Haven. And there was a guy that I met named, we called him Indie Rock Brian, and he was up on all the indie rock. And I would just give him my iPod, and I would say,
"This is a beautiful thing."
I would say, "Fill this for me."
Yes, to surrender
like, give me
the iPod
all
to
the new shit. I'd be like, "Keep like these three things on there. I know I want that, and everything else is yours. All like 200 megabytes or whatever." And then he would just fill it up with albums, and then I would listen to it for 6 months, and then I would give it to him again. And so that's when I got into all the Saddle Creek stuff, Rilo Kiley and Death Cab and all that shit. And then The National, which became like huge for me. I've seen them a bunch of times. And the biggest one, I remember riding around in a car with my friend Greg, and he had a mix on, and I heard my first Mountain Goat song, which is like a super lo-fi. It was off All Hail West Texas. And then I played that album just like start to finish for months. It was one of the, like every song on the album became my favorite song on it at some point, because I just like lived in it. And that's sort of like so much of the huge like lyrical influence. And I don't even know if it's true. I think I read at some point that like the characters in his songs, like he writes short stories about them. Like it felt like there was weight underneath the lyrics, these stories he was telling about these people. He would do like kind of concept albums about, where it was all about one couple, or it was all about some certain period in his life, and it was just something for me that in my early sobriety was very, very impactful. So that Silver Jews too was same time.
I love when you find that like special album that you're like, if this were like, I could wear a CD out, like kind of listening, you know, that's a really special spot. And that sticks with you. And you're going to like, you're going to listen to that album till you fucking die, you know,
Sean,
it'll always
think?
Take you there. So it'll be great. Go ahead.
Sean, what do you think it was about the Mountain Goat specifically that like really grabbed you more than like the other stuff that was put on the iPod?
You know, there's part of it is like it did sound so shitty. Like it was just like him playing guitar and recording into like a boombox. And it was just, it felt very intimate and like urgent. And the just, I think something about the recording of it too. Like I don't know. There was something that felt authentic about it to me. And some of the stuff there was a sense of humor to it. And there was a very like kind of literate aspect there. And, you know, it's very, they're much cornier, but like one of the first bands I found for myself was like They Might Be Giants, which was from like Tiny Toons or whatever. But those were some of the first, like that was probably the first tape I ever bought with my own money was Flood. And there's something about their sound too, like that, you know, he had a very nasal voice, John Darnielle does, and so did John Linnell from there. And I think I got used to that kind of sound. I just liked that kind of like nasal, whiny, I'm talking to you, saying smart stuff kind of sound. And and then Silver Jews and Pavement and those guys were at the same time I got really deep into. And so what I listen to now is really a lot of that same, that like early 2000s indie stuff is what I love and go back to. And there's a bunch of stuff from that period, and it's rare that I find like a new thing I'm really into. Even if I find a new band that I get, like I got into Superchunk pretty late with like, like three albums ago, and I love them now. I listen to them a lot, but they're a 90s band that I just didn't find, who's still making good music, I think.
That sort of fit into the stuff that you already liked, right?
Yeah. I don't find a lot of, I had a period a little while back where I got into like, Car Seat Headrest and Level Up and some of that like kind of
Like 2016
post emo
rock,
stuff that I like. But anyway, I don't listen to as much music as I used to. I think I got so into audiobooks and podcasts when I'm in the car.
I do think they are extremely competing mediums.
They are.
Yes, 100%.
It's hard to listen to every podcast and also do music, or vice versa.
I get really invested in books too, and I'll find like a narrator I love, and then I'll just be like, well, I every time I have extra listening time, I'll be like, well, I really want to finish this book, and it wins out over songs. But to bring it all full circle, I went to the Paul McCartney concert on Friday.
Fuck yeah.
How was that?
Paul, was he shaking?
Paul McCartney got
shaking
back.
His little butt.
He got
well
back.
It's well
oh
no,
he's spry,
his butt's
baby.
Not little he, it's The show's called Paul McCartney Got Back.
Yeah.
He's plump.
It's an
plump
homage to his famously huge ass.
Yeah.
The boys got back. It was great.
Yeah, it was a good show. Where was it?
Sophie.
Cool. Man, I wonder did it sound good in there? Like, did the audio and stuff sound good?
It did. I mean, it's like, it didn't sound incredible because it's a pretty, like, cavernous space.
Be honest now.
It was a
don't hold back.
It was like an incredible kind of impactful experience for me. I truly loved I loved the set list and hearing him. He sounded better than you would think he would at 79 years old.
Yeah, totally.
And also sounded bad in spots in a way that was also reassuring, where it's like, I'm seeing the real guy. He's really can't get there on Blackbird anymore, you know? So that feel good. And so I did love the show, but there were spots where, like, with the full band playing, stuff got drowned out a little bit. But also like, he doesn't, his vocals are getting drowned out, but he doesn't sound amazing. You're there for the song. The Beatle is doing the Beatles in front of you.
Yeah. This is not a novel thought, but I was listening to the Beatles today I've talked about it on the pod before, but I go to this library that has LPs, and you can pull a bunch of LPs from the library. And one of them that I got was the Beatles volume, Rock and Roll Volume 2. And just had it playing in the background, and I was like, I know every single one of these songs, but I've never listened to this album before.
Yeah.
And and then I started putting on other Beatles, and I was like, this is not a band that I have ever actively listened to. That I can remember, maybe a little bit in middle school when you get, like you said, the anthologies, but I think I know every song. I feel confident that, like, I know almost every song. It's crazy that,
yeah, sometimes you see a title and go like, I guess I never heard that one, and then you're like, no, I have heard this. And because I was exposed via the anthologies, I don't know the timeline really of the album, so I'll be like, I'll be like, well, Old Brown Shoe, that's a great Beatles song. And then it's like, that was never on an album.
Yeah.
That was a fucking B-side they decided not to release. But, you know, and then later in time, it goes like, oh, this is when George Harrison was really, like, finding his feet as a songwriter. So it's kind of cool. I want to answer one more question that you asked Hayes, which is a song that has made me cry.
Please, please.
Now, my wife is very into country, like modern pop country, and she listens to Luke Combs sometimes, and he had a song called Even Though I'm Leaving, which is a
I don't know this song, but I know this guy,
Luke Combs, he's good, he's a good songwriter, he writes a lot of like storytelling ones, and there's a lot of like, you know, Beer Never Broke My Heart is like his biggest single. It's a lot of what you think of as the kind of corporate country, like billionaire singing good old boy specifics. But the first verse is a dad singing to his son as he puts him to bed, like, you know, even though I'm leaving, like you're going to bed, I'm leaving, but like, I'm always here with you. Like, you don't need to be scared. And then the second verse is the son going off to join the military, and he's singing it to his father, like, even though I'm leaving, I'm still here with you. And then the third verse is the father on his deathbed saying, like, even though I'm passing on, I'm always going to be here.
Damn.
And it really works on me, and it did make me cry.
Always my baby and my baby you'll be kind of vibes. The giving that book, that book that makes moms cry. Yeah, that sounds powerful. It sounds like you can get your
Chesney's gun. Coming to SoFi pretty soon. I don't know if you saw that, Sean. And
Dan
will be joining, and Shay will be there as well.
Ooh, Shay's bringing Dan, or the other way around.
It's Dan, I think. Is
who's driving?
Dan's the main. Yeah, who's driving?
Who's take the well, metro?
We're but if Dan's driving, line. Maybe Shay is higher status. I don't got to drive. You drive me.
He's sitting in the back seat.
I would go just to hear the song Tequila by Dan and Shay, and then I would leave. But
you're not going to stay for 10,000 hours?
We wrestled even with going to Paul McCartney. I was like, I have to. I've never seen him. This is a bucket list experience. But I didn't want to go.
Sean has gently seen off some other elder statesmen, or I guess just one.
5% of the audience was wearing masks at SoFi, just so you know. We were among them, but no one. I was like, oh, I'm catching COVID here, and I will not be going back.
But I feel like your decision-making, Sean got to give Tom Petty a little kiss on the forehead.
So I went to see Tom Petty right before he died, and I had never seen him. It was an incredible concert. And then... and part of me seeing him was like, I've talked about this before, but I meant to see Prince when he was like doing that like residency at the Forum, and I didn't go, and everyone was like, most amazing concert I've ever been to. You have to be there. And I was like, he'll do it again. And then he died pretty, you know, shockingly.
I was one of those people who was like, I'll see him the next time he does it.
Yeah, I saw him on the Musicology tour. Let me tell you, if you missed the Musicology tour, there's nothing the Forum dates could have done to like catch up to
unmatched.
That. Yes,
I've heard that as well. But I wanted the generic label version of that at least. So anyway, then when that happened, I was like, I guess I really do have to see these people, like when you can. And so then I went to see Tom Petty next, like with that in mind. And then he died.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh wow, I was right. And then I went to see like Elton John, Billy Joel, like a bunch of just like classic people I grew up with. And And they were mostly good shows, but I felt like I had just missed my window with Paul McCartney. I was like, there's no way. In 2015, he played Dodger Stadium. Ringo came out with him. I wasn't there. And I was like, fuck, man. I blew it. And then he did this. And I feel like having watched that documentary right before, it was even more impactful for me.
You were charged, yeah.
Oh, I was fired up.
I'm glad you got out there.
I read a big, long book about him.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, you never know when they're going to go. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. You never know. Hey,
but if they do,
you never know.
Even though they're leaving,
yeah,
that don't mean that they won't be right by your side when you're scared and you need them in the middle of the night.
Beautiful. The one of those I went to, and I do think this was like a sort of a part of New England history, was, and this is a guy that I've always really liked, but I haven't caught up with him recently, but Springsteen at Fenway. This was the first Fenway. Now they do them all the time.
Yeah,
McCartney's
yeah.
coming there later this summer.
He is, yeah.
But that was the first one. And I think it was like three shows or something like that. This was around the time of like, I guess it was post The Rising, but enough where that was like still kind of his like most recent like huge hit album.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, that was sick.
I'm going to say it on the pod. I'm not a big Bruce guy, and I know that's really polarizing, and that's going to probably, you know, going to lose several followers for this one, but I'm not really into the boss.
I've never seen him. Not much of a working man. Huh?
Yeah.
That doesn't resonate with you?
Yeah, I'm all about daddy's money.
Yeah, okay.
I never saw him, but I also never did a deep dive, but I always felt like it was a failing of me. Like, when I listen, I'm like, Born to Run was playing.
Yeah, Born
in my
to Run rocks.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bought the vinyl of Darkness on the Edge of Town and grew to like basically every song there, but the whole rest of his catalog I barely know.
It's a huge catalog,
it's so daunting.
Yes. Yeah, there's certain artists where you're like, it's too big. Too big for me to even dive into. Mm-hmm. Which is a perfect transition to a genre that's almost too big for the both of you guys.
It's true.
Is it? Is it really? Okay.
I would say it's a pretty big genre these days. Okay. Especially these days.
Is it now? Because I think of it as being huge 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tailing off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of bands now that are doing like shoegaze kind of revival type stuff and like offshoot brands of shoegazy kind of stuff. Like there's so many bands playing like what you might consider to be shoegaze or dream pop, but like also fits under the category of
alternative rock, post punk.
Like they're all kind of melding and becoming the same thing.
Dream pop's related. So like, cause like I think of like Beach House as dream pop, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
But that's not shoegaze.
Yeah. No. Let's narrow it down a little. Okay. I want to talk about why I brought this up.
Yeah. Let's take a one big step back and first just say, without a shadow of a doubt, the genre that you guys say that you fuck with the least is shoegaze.
Shoegaze. Yep.
But it's one that I know enough to know, like to be adjacent to it and to know that I just never fully got it. This was another freshman year of college thing. Uh-huh. My roommate, a cross-country runner from Palo Alto, I remember all the bands. Mm-hmm. My Bloody Valentine, of course.
Mm-hmm. The seminal shoegaze band.
Serena Manish, which was like a Swedish or like some kind of Scandinavian band around that time. There's one called Minus the Bear that you would play a lot. And all of these, I heard them. I never stopped here. He would just play them all the time. And it was fine. It was like ambient, like background music. But like none of them just like sunk in for me at all, and I couldn't really tell you even what it is.
It's hard to exactly ping what this sound is.
Okay,
we can talk a little bit about I think it's easier to start with like the precursors to exactly describe like what it is, because a lot of shoegaze to me sounds like I would quote it as like a wall of sound. It's about sonic capabilities as opposed to like melody. Yeah.
Well, I think shoegaze, the term, is like a pejorative term. Like it's not like, I think it is a little bit has a negative connotation. Yeah,
well, for sure. It's like navel gazing, right?
It's like navel gazing. Yeah,
yeah. It's like you know, they're fucking staring at their shoes, just like noodling around.
Yeah,
and I think more, go ahead.
That part of what makes shoegaze, like I think what separates shoegaze from genres like dream pop or like even like just alternative rock is that they don't care if you're enjoying yourself. Like, that's not what the point of the music is. That's why, like, the vocals typically are tucked, like, in the mix very low. It's almost like you can't even hear what they're singing about.
Well, it's like another instrument where it's just, like, another sound for them to make. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's, like, very big part of the genre is that the vocals is considered an instrument as opposed to, like, the main attraction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think of it as, like, you have to be incredibly patient with it. Because I think every like couple years I would go, I gotta get into My Bloody Valentine. Like this is like such an important album to so many artists that I respect.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta fucking get into this. And I would just be like, I don't have the patience. Like I'm getting frustrated with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I do like a lot of dream poppy stuff that I'm realizing is similar. Like Beach House, obviously, the way I don't know what they're saying in a lot of those songs, the way that that she uses her voice is like, hello, 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 hello. And I'm just like, okay, but it somehow it works for me more, I guess, because it's just all like really pretty.
I like Beach House. Okay. Beach House is more, it feels more melodic to me for sure.
But I would say I know the like big song, like the single, but I can't pick out a lot of their songs from one another.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about Grizzly Bear, where there's like a couple songs I love,
but everything else like, kind of falls I'm into like a
it's all a mess.
Mm-hmm. Wax candle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a candle. I mean, I just call that a candle.
Don't really need to qualify.
That's a great candle. That's just a straight up candle.
I'm trying
to
Yeah,
I think
time.
You have
I
to like specify if it's not wax.
That's cool. That's cool. It's a soy candle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a soy candle, babe. I feel like the reason I think we like the dream pop and stuff more is it came first. It existed first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shoegaze is one of those things. As far as I understand it, it's definitely a British-based thing. It's coming out of Britpop, which is an extension of like Britpop was after kind of new wave. So we're beyond post-punk. We're beyond new wave. We're doing Britpop. It's like indie alternative. And Blur is a great example of like
that's a bridge between the two, right?
Yes, that would be a perfect bridge. Pre-song two, like everything Blur did before. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Like that dream pop and stuff, and a lot of other precursors. Like I'm gonna mispronounce this, but like the Cocteau Twins. Twins.
Yeah.
Another big precursor, and that's very beach housey. Like you hear beach house there. And I have a hard time kind of like, I think it's what Asan was talking about. It's like the genre evolved through musicians who were more interested in playing with their friends for themselves than being a commercial success. And then somehow it became successful.
Like the early days of like punk and stuff, but not like hard.
Yeah.
Very soft, like a very soft version of that.
Yeah. It's that same intention of like we just want to like get together and play our instruments.
Like, oh, there's people here. Cool. Oh, that's cool.
That's fine.
Well, it's similar to the jam band things that I like. It does remind me kind of jam bands, which I listen to, but it's not as goofy.
Right.
And you know, I obviously sort of grew out of even liking those, but
I'll ask you this, Jacob. Do you feel like shoegaze is maybe a genre of music that, like, part of the barrier of enjoying it is seeing it live?
Yes, because a lot of it is, like, My Bloody Valentine is big because of how loud they are, in my opinion. I think
so. That's interesting.
Yes.
That's another layer
to
it.
I went to Minus the Bear show my roommate brought me.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
At, Sean, what's that place that we almost performed, but then we didn't because it had been canceled?
The Middle East.
In Cambridge. And it was for me, so loud that every picture of me at Chuck E. Cheese when I'm a little kid, I have both fingers in my ears.
Yeah.
Like, it did not even... hit, like,
you're supposed to go to those shows with ear protection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah. It's part of it. And I don't,
okay.
I'm not against that. I get it, but it kind of goes back to this thing of like, it's for musicians, right? It's like,
yeah,
I don't think you and like a person who doesn't play guitar will be impressed that somebody has a rig that can pump 115 decibels versus 95. But right. This is the shit that My Bloody Valentine fans care about. And they like, I got too deep in the Reddit and they're like, I've noticed that towards the back half of their shows, they're no longer pushing 140 decibels. And I'm like, I can't imagine. That's loud.
And
that is
to get
like
even nerdier,
heart shattering. Yeah.
To get even nerdier, what made My Bloody Valentine so cool for nerds is that they would do stuff to like not just being loud, but they would do stuff. They would tune their guitars in ways that like more of the they could play more of the strings open so that chords would resonate like more.
Just like wah,
yeah, so they would like tune the bottom three notes like to the same note so that when they would hit an open chord, it would just be this wall of sound. And I think that's part of why like you have to see it live, because it like playing a guitar super loud is awful. It also feels different rather than like just hearing it, because it's like hitting you in the chest and it's like vibrating and shit.
The thing like, is like no home setup, no even car system is ever gonna replicate like what a Marshall stack could do physically to you. Yeah. And these boys are it goes to 11.
and the lead singer or the whatever, the front man of My Bloody Valentine is like ruined, right? Isn't like I thought like I heard so, like he has
like his hearing.
Yes,
I haven't heard this, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Tinnitus
at all.
Would be what
he has tinnitus,
right?
For sure.
He got it mixed while mixing Loveless.
Awful.
That's horrible.
And he has mild to extreme tinnitus.
That's bad. My dad has that. It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think, so I think Asan nailed it, where it's like, it's an in-person sort of genre. Hmm.
Yeah.
And unless you're a big music nerd with like an impressive sound system, I don't even know if like Loveless is going to sound good. Like on my system, it was really pushing it. And I was like, I don't want to ruin my speakers, so I'm going to not really do this, you know? But then we kind of get like, we were talking about if it like there has been other waves. We had this like 90s wave, and then we had like a weird wave, and like the 2011, 12, maybe to 14, there was like a second wave. And now I think we're on like a third wave, but it's because like punk and metal music's so big right now that you're moving into this like it's called fugaze, where it's like more metal inspired, more punk inspired, but it's still about the wall of sound. I think they're trying to like anybody can find a new little corner and be like, we're gonna make it our own. And I think they're trying to bring it back.
Was the 2011-2012, was that like M83?
Yes
okay. Yeah.
I think they would be considered shoegaze. I'm trying to think of like another sort of second,
let me see,
or a post movement like band. I'm gonna have to just look at the Wikipedia, to be honest. I don't know. M83 is like for sure what I would say.
But there's bands that kind of like, I wouldn't call them necessarily a shoegaze band, but they were taking elements of shoegaze. Like I would say Explosions in the Sky is a band like that was doing kind of shoegazy type stuff. You know what I mean?
I see that.
Well, why don't we listen to one and see what we think? We've curated and picked a tune in the shoegaze genre that we think you guys might dig. And if you don't, you're going to tell us.
We'll be right back.
That's interesting. It's very British.
Mm-hmm. They're Swedish, I believe.
Yeah, so that was a song called Over by Sore Eyelids out of Belgium, 2012.
Oh, Belgium.
So in that set, second life of shoegaze.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. There was something about the guitar tone at first that I was like, gosh, this sounds really familiar. I want to say it felt like early Modest Mouse to me.
Mm. Okay.
That's interesting.
That like little, whatever they were doing, that little like ding that just like, kept coming off of it. Yeah. I was like
twangy.
Dramamine kind of. Like era. Like, and then when it got into the song, when it got, the drums came in, I went, okay, this is really cool.
That's what I thought.
I was like, this rocks. And then the next part I was like, and this is cool. And then when they got into what I assume is sort of the chorus, I went, okay, little muddy for me, little messy,
nothing sticks. This is like, this is my problem with all of it. I need something cheaper than this.
I need something
that like is more cloying and that I can. You mentioned Explosions in the Sky, where like obviously that first part is very reminiscent of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when it's like, when it's heightening a little bit, you're like, okay. And like, I'm expecting to be like taken on the escalator.
Uh-huh.
With this song, but it then it's just like on to the next part, and I can't really like.
And if you're thinking about it's like, I don't know, if I'm imagining you running to it, it's like,
yes,
there's not a steady pace for you to click into,
not at
all. Yeah,
I would never.
Yeah, they're
ever
shifting too much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm.
I do agree. I like settling into a groove and finding a groove, like, and being there, even if it's fast, even if it's like hectic. Like, we're there, we're steady, and there is a lot of dips. There's ups, downs. It can confuse the brain. I think it's not what we're used to.
I said it sounds British because it sounds a little like The Cure to me.
There's totally some of that in there for sure. Yeah, yeah, totally.
They're a big influence in that genre, I would say.
Yeah.
What about this song kind of made you feel like it was the right pick, a song?
Well, I wanted to find a shoegaze song that like was firmly, I think, a good representation of like kind of where the genre is now. And then I tried to find a song that like the vocals were like at least a little bit more present than shoegaze songs typically are, because I knew you, Sean, were really into Mountain Goats. So I like started. I'd never heard the Mountain Goats before. So I was listening to like their top five most popular songs on Spotify. And I realized that it was very sort of vocal driven and like acoustic guitar, that type of thing. So I tried to find a song where like it would, the vocals were present and it kind of felt like they were, the lyrics were a little bit more, a little bit more story like and the kind of talking about something rather than just kind of mumbling. And so that was kind of like the main thrust of it, because a lot of shoegaze too is like, a lot of it is kind of slower and more like prodding, and or not prodding, that's not the right word, but like kind of like slower and like just more
patient.
Wall of sound. Yeah, patient. Yeah. I tried to find something with a little bit more
drive,
energy and movement.
It definitely does have more of that than a lot of the songs I have heard.
Absolutely.
And I do appreciate the vocal mix more. I like this style. I don't like that, like, it when it's too buried, it's like, well, why even be there?
Yeah.
Almost. Like,
totally.
Yeah, just make an instrumental song.
Yeah.
What's the name of the band?
Sore Eyelids.
What is it with sweet? I mean, like, is it just...
I think in places where it's cold, they just make music like this, you know?
Okay.
Interesting. That's interesting, yeah.
And in Southern California, you get Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Bing a bong da bong. Well, I'm glad that you guys listened to the tune. You know, every time the guests listen to it, they got to give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So for this shoegaze track, are you tying them on tight or are you throwing them over a power line?
That's what you do when you don't like shoes.
Yeah,
that is like the rudest gesture you can make.
Yeah, whenever you see shoes on a power line, it's because the person
someone really
was very
hated those shoes.
Very dissatisfied.
I'm tired of these. I'm not trying to signal you to my criminal enterprise.
I've got binoculars, like looking at the, going like, not going to buy these shoes, whatever they are. They must be really uncomfortable.
Blue Converse Chuck Taylors are not the move this year.
Okay, good to know. They must have changed the construction of them.
So what's the vote?
I liked it enough to say I don't want to throw it over the power line. I'll tie them on tight. I would listen to this song again. I liked a lot of what they had going on instrumentally, and and the vocals were present enough for me that I feel like I would chill with it. So let's tie them on tight.
Beautiful.
Tie it on tight.
I would probably leave them in a just like a box that says free.
Cool.
All right. That works.
I don't think I wouldn't
very
totally
happy for someone
it.
Else to have them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I hope this is great for somebody, yeah. but not for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably, to be honest, what I would do with them is I would try them on and I would go, I think I'll wear these. And my wife would go, what did you think of the shoes? And I'll go, they were a little bit tight on the sides, but they'll break in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would never wear them. And like a year would go by and she'd go like, are you going to get rid of some of these shoes?
Yeah.
What are these getting out of here?
Yeah, well, these ones. And I'd go, actually, I need to break these in still. And I would wear them for a week and then I'd forget again.
And then everyone's like, Sean, are those new shoes? And you're like, no, I just never wear them.
It's interesting. Yeah. Sit down, please. Let's talk about this.
Well, thanks for voting on the track, guys. Thanks for giving a listen and being open.
Kevin, you got a vote?
Oh, yeah. We got to
see
Kevin's
secret vote. Yeah, we do this every episode.
Vote. Wow.
All right, don't say it.
Beautiful. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it. It's only for the video.
That's for the pod viewers, okay?
Oh,
little exclusive.
A little exclusive. Because we saw what Kevin's doing in terms of which direction the thumb is going.
All right, we're going to play a quick little game, a little NBA-focused game. If you got to bounce, Hayes, totally understand.
Any minute now, but this is an NBA focused game.
Yes, yes, yes.
On the music show?
Oh, maybe it's like I created some synergy. Great. We're gonna play a game called NBA, the National Bars Association. We're gonna play some tracks that were performed by NBA basketball stars. We're gonna play a little bit of the track. And we're going to give you three potential NBA stars, and you guys have to guess who is the artist behind the track.
Let's do it.
Sounds sick?
Sounds sick as hell. I want to play.
Are you dying to play? All right, let's go ahead and hear our first track.
I've been so many places in my life and time. Sung a lot of songs. I made some bad rhymes.
Sounds really good.
I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. We're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope.
This is a cover, right?
Is it?
I treated you unkind, and darling, can't you see?
It's beautiful, though.
There's nothing more important to me, baby.
A little deep,
though.
A little auto-tune in there.
Because we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you.
Beautiful.
This is a Donny Hathaway cover.
Okay. All right, so your options. Is this Chris Paul?
No.
Is this Devin Booker?
It's Oladipo.
Or is this Victor Oladipo?
It's Oladipo. Yeah, he's good. Who does he sound like?
He sounds like Allo Black to me.
That's who I was going to say.
Yeah, he sounds like Allo Black to me.
It sounded like something else. I was like, I don't know if this is a cover, but this does not sound like its own thing.
It is a cover. Mm-hmm. It's a Donny Hathaway song, apparently. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever... the only time I've ever heard him sing is one of the most famous moments in NBA history where he...
He came out to the dunk contest.
He came out to the dunk contest. He put on a little like gangster hat and goes, "Start spreading the news."
Yeah, because the All-Star game was in New York. So
okay. Oh, okay,
yes,
that's cool.
But he was on The Masked Singer actually, and I watched some of that, and I knew it was him, and I felt smart.
And I think he was wore a mask to do the dunk. No, this was before that. No, that was later that he dunked with a Black Panther mascot.
Yep.
That's wild. Cool.
That's great.
I mean, it's all about showmanship at the dunk contest. Yeah, that's it was honestly pretty solid. Points on the board. 500 points each. Mm-hmm. Next track.
I'm
Suburban girl curious about the dark side. She meet me at the track where our heart lies. Attracted to the struggle and the hard times. Like she misses something real, but my guard's high.
I try to wild. That's a wild first lyric.
I definitely have a guess.
Yeah.
I know her parents won't approve me. Cause she way too sheltered and I'm too free. Just in my
life, make the link. It's a kind of a weak beat.
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody like drumming on a Kleenex box.
Yeah. He's got all right. Those buckets like that says "Let's do this."
I think Sean and I have the same guess. Can we guess without options?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is this Dame Dalla?
Damian Lillard.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
it is. Yeah.
Dame Dalla. Damian Lillard. Okay. Not bad.
Totally,
man.
Bad.
You guys are killing it. 500 points.
Yeah, totally 500 points. That's 10,000 points.
Totally good.
All right, let's.
What's that
next
one called?
It's called Track Meet, by Dame Dalla. Okay. Track Meet. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
I like the. I mean, just like, and also like the high school basketball star who is just laying extreme amounts of pipe.
Yeah, it's very funny to like decide to be an NBA rapper and still rap about like the track meet or sports, where it's like, well, right, if you like, wouldn't you want to try and differentiate and be like, I'm just gonna rap about other stuff that I don't
run
do.
The mall.
Yeah.
Going
rap
to the
about
mall.
The Silver Lake Reservoir. All right, let's hit that next track.
Oh, this is a fun one.
This is the kind of thing I like. Yes,
we're in Vegas now. We're in Vegas now. This could be Coldplay.
I like the kazoo sound.
Yeah.
It feels like a song in an elevator in Vegas.
Yes, 100%. Are you guys staying here or are you just gambling?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Our buddy's staying here. We're at the Hard Rock.
Yeah. Oh, we can get his room key if it's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Was that Tony Parker, Kareem Rush?
Oh, wow.
Or Ben Simmons?
What was my second option?
Tony Parker, Kareem Rush, and Ben Simmons.
It's not Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Kareem Rush is so not famous that I think it must be him.
I have to go with Kareem Rush. He wouldn't be a dummy example.
But that's really funny that's the kind of music that Kareem Rush makes.
Yes, you're obviously correct. It is Kareem Rush. And he honestly has some bad songs. I like went through a couple, and there's some where it's like the vocal chops are not there.
Well, I mean, it's weird because that song is so, his voice is so like tuned that it doesn't feel like something that someone who likes music like would. It's so strange.
It's bizarre.
You wonder what the goal was.
This song's called March On. He just wants to like be playing in Tulum or something. It's such like a generic club party. It's like he wanted fucking YouTubers to use it for transition music or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's good. I had no idea he did that.
Mad respect. All right, let's hit it.
Track like 14 on the Cradle to the Grave soundtrack.
It's the second song that plays in the credits.
Yes.
International.
Mr. Worldwide.
This shit thumps.
I think I might have a guess.
Yeah.
All right. You want to give him the options, Jacob?
I think if he's got the guess, I'll let him go for the guess. And if you're wrong, I'll read the options.
Okay. So say Tony P.
Okay. So there you go.
Oh, you heard that?
Oh, that was in the track?
It was in the beginning.
Oh,
damn it.
We should have known. Yeah.
That wasn't necessarily going to be my guess. I thought I read somewhere that Rudy Gobert did that too, but I knew.
Oh, that was one of the options, was uh-huh. Rudy Gobert.
Rudy okay. Gobert.
I believe they said Tony P. What's up at the
they
beginning.
Did.
Yeah, that was indeed Tony Parker.
Okay. I think Rudy Gobert does rap also.
Yeah.
That's also the type of rap that he would do, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I can
good.
See that.
Weirdly,
I like that.
It was weird. It was,
I like French rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very the other different. Option was Serge Ibaka.
Okay. Oh.
Well, thanks for playing along, guys. That was NBA, the National Bars Association. You guys came away with easily, I don't know, 1,700 points. You can
feels
redeem
good.
That. You can redeem that for a slice of pizza to Chuck E. Cheese, the Eagle Rock Chuck E. Cheese.
They plug your
they
ears.
Sell it by this.
No, you say my name, we'll give you a slice.
Okay.
Jacob Wyzocki.
Oh, yeah.
Counter. Hey, Jacob Wyzocki.
Let me get
Hello?
The Wyzocki special. Yes. Yeah, I do work at that Chuck E. Cheese. I repair the animatrons and I slang slices of pizza.
And you
there's
can
a
just
line,
sell,
kid. Jacob Wyzocki.
The trick is you just sell them on the floor. You just like take the you heat up the pizza,
put on my rollerblades.
Yeah, you just like tell the kids like, hey, I'll give you a slice of pizza for like 50 cents instead of a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you're not gonna pay for that crap up there, huh?
You're gonna wait in that long line.
Come on, dude.
I got some Cholula in my pocket. If you want,
delivery is DiGiorno, brother.
Well, that option is available for you because you are our winners today. Mm-hmm.
Congrats!
Honestly, yeah, guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for talking tunes and giving me the opportunity to plug Liquid Death. Waiting for my case. Can't wait.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of people get that for free.
Yeah, really trying, really trying to get a case of Liquid Death. I'll give you my address.
Not from our page, pal.
You never know. You never know who you're going to reach out to.
I wish you the best.
Thank you so much. Boys, thanks for being on the pod.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff, buddy.
Thanks
you too,
for
Jacob.
Having us.
Thanks for doing it.
I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them, no.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.